Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 30 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host today, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. As usual, I'll talk you through my week in terms of goldmaking, how it's gone, what I've sold, what I haven't sold. Then we'll talk a little bit about what's happening with the game, and what's happened over the last week, and then we'll have the discussion point, and this week I'll be talking a little bit about some alternate strategies for pricing and selling items, some stuff that people aren't focusing as much on. So that's going to be it. Keep in mind that you can help shape the podcast by submitting questions if you're a $10 patron or higher. And let's just dive into my week. So, this week went really, really well in terms of sales and gold made. I didn't have too much time to play the game, as I was traveling with work from Tuesday to Wednesday, so I didn't get in my usual stream on Wednesday, and I actually didn't play the game at all between Monday and Saturday. My total sales were just over 1.2 million gold, though, which is really, really good. I managed to increase my liquid gold by about 960,000 gold, which is amazing. That's a lot of tokens. Now, a large part of my huge increase in liquid gold is, of course, the fact that I spent very little gold this week. I only really bought BOEs on Monday. And then on Saturday, I just reposted my auctions. I didn't spend any gold. And I didn't have time to, because I just didn't have too much time to play the game this week. But still, that's almost a million gold profit this week. Obviously, that's only possible because I've already invested ludicrous amounts of gold in BOEs. But I am now sitting just below 11 million total gold, which is great. And one thing that I've really noticed is that now that I'm tracking my total gold, just as I talked about or wrote about in my post on Sunday, it's definitely a lot more fun to do my multi-realm setup. Because if you're not tracking it outside of the game, then it's really, really hard to know if you're in the right direction or not. And now that I'm tracking, I can tell that I am 100% absolutely very much in the right direction. I'm making a ton of gold, actually. And I've made about 2 million gold profit. Actually, a little more than that over the last 2 months. So that's pretty good. So I'm definitely in a very positive trend. BOEs are looking good. I had 840,000 gold in net profit from BOEs this week, which is pretty massive. And that's pretty great. I had about 257k net profit on Monday when I collected mailboxes and bought some BOEs. And then, of course, the rest was from Saturday where I just collected auctions. So I only spent about 200k on BOEs this week, which is quite a bit less than I have done lately. And then I spent some gold on materials and some other stuff, mostly materials on one of my other realms, I think. So that's how my 1.2 million gold in sales turned into 960k. So I spent about 40k on materials, mostly on Ravencrest. So Medallions of the Legion, Materials, and Battle Pets, those are like the rest, that's the 187k sales I had that weren't from BOEs, were from those markets. And of course some of the crafted stuff that I'm still selling off on Twilight's Hammer, which was the Gold Cap Challenge realm. So that's pretty good. I'm expecting to spend a little bit more gold on BOEs again next week. Hopefully we'll make a profit, but I don't think I want to aim at 840k profit with like my current sales. I think, assuming that I keep up roughly the same amount of sales, I want to be in the about 600k profit per week range, is better. So I definitely want to spend 200 to 400k, more on BOEs, assuming I can find the good deals. I think that's a pretty good, that's a good aim point for me right now. In terms of total gold made or lost from BOEs since I started flipping Desarlar BOEs or started tracking it, I am now, I have a total net loss of about 1.8 million gold now. So we're definitely getting there. really helps with about 1 million in profits this week. Or 800k, a little less than 1 million. But definitely very much on the right direction. And this was just off of two reposts. I reposted twice this week. So that's very good. And that definitely proves that you can get you can make a lot of gold even with very little playtime. Because I played very little this week. I played streamed for 2 hours on Monday, and then I played about an hour on Saturday, reposting auctions again, and that was about it. So that's pretty cool. Now, if we take our attention from my week and talk a little bit about the game, I'm not going to talk too much about what's happening. The main thing is, of course, that we're approaching the release of the Crucible of Storms 2 boss raid. And we got some very important news about that this week, where Blizzard confirmed, or at least told us, that they will not be increasing the item level cap. It will remain at item level 425, which is huge, especially for those of us like me who have a ton of gold invested in BOE flipping. Because it means that the item level curve isn't going to move, which means that item level 400 is going to be roughly as useful after the patch. Or after the raid opens, which is really important if you have a lot of BOEs. So, of course, if there are any new BOEs from the raid, which there probably will be, because there usually is, or there usually are some BOEs from every raid, even if they're just a two-boss raid. Of course, we'll want to flip those, but the main thing is that this won't really change the value of the Battle of the Sarlor BOEs significantly, which is important. And that's actually probably the most important or most potentially significant change that we're looking at right now. So that's really, really good for us, or at least for me. It's very good for me that the BOEs aren't getting devalued by increasing the item level cap yet, because then I can sell all of the ones I have. And it's also good for any of you who have listened to me and entered the BOE market, because you'll be able to make gold over the BOEs you already have. So that's pretty cool. So outside of that, I haven't really been had time to read a lot of WoW news, so I don't think there's anything really significant happening with the game right now. I haven't noticed much. I'm still working on my one thing I didn't have time for this week is working on my hunter. So it's still at level 113. Hopefully we can get it to 120 fairly fast so I can do the 30 days to a token challenge, which is something I'm really looking forward to. But enough about that, and let's go into the discussion point this week. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about some alternative auction house strategies, and a little bit about how and when you can use them. And when I talk about alternative strategies, the common or basic auction house strategy is to undercut, buy one copper, and just post your stuff on the auction house, and you'll sell them at the buyout, because that's what people are going to look at. So that's sort of the basic auction house strategy. You base your pricing on the buyout of your item, you undercut the cheapest one, and you use the auction house. And we're going to look at some alternatives to those basic ideas, and a little bit about when and how I think you can use them. So we'll do the most controversial one first, of course, which is large undercuts. I've talked about that before, and a lot of people disagree with me, and they still will, and they will forever. But my experience has always been that if you lower your price, you will increase your sale rate. You'll always get more sales at lower prices. Which means that there are a lot of legitimate reasons to use larger undercuts than one copper. Now, you shouldn't use very large undercuts unless you're just trying to get out of a market before it's too late. Such as getting out of the BOEs at the end of an expansion. That's definitely something where you want to use very large undercuts. Now, in regular markets, I use undercuts of about 0.1 to 0.5% DB market for some expensive markets like Crafted Mounts, Vial of the Sands, BOEs, stuff like that. But it only makes sense for items that have a low sale rate and fairly high prices. Luxury items, that's where it makes a lot of sense. It definitely does not make sense for very high sale rate items, so stuff like current expansion materials, current expansion enchants, current expansion gems and crafted gear and all of that stuff. Just stick to one copper undercuts. There's no point at all in driving down the price. The sale rate is already super high for most of these items, unless someone has just done a reset scan or tried to reset it to a ludicrously high price. Then I might do a large undercut, but still. Outside of that, you can use large undercuts in a lot of situations. But it has to be because you have a good idea that it will increase your sale rate and probably, hopefully, increase your total profits as well. Because, of course, your profits is your profit margin multiplied by the number of sales you make in any given time period. And if you can double your sale rate but only decrease your profit margin by 5%, you're going to make a lot more gold than if you sold them for 5% more profit margin and way less numbers. So that's just something that's a balance that you should consider. Now, let's look at the next one. And this is something that's a little more fun, and you can use it in several ways. I'm now talking about bids. Now, on the auction house, every item has two prices. It has a buyout price, which you can use to buy the item immediately. And this is the price you use almost 99% of the time, at least. And most people just focus on the buyout price when they're posting. But there is also a bid price. Bid prices are the price you just set a starting point, and then people can bid, and then they can increase their bid. And then once the auction expires, the highest bidder that has put in a bid will get the item, unless someone buys it out. Now, bids are a very underused feature, and it can be used very profitably both to sell your items and to find good deals. So, as an example, when I'm shopping for BOEs, I will always put in bids on any items I see that has a good bid price, even if it's 48 hours until expiration, because I have nothing to lose. Best case, I get the sale, or no one outbids me and I get the item for a very low price, or a much lower price than if I had tried to buy it out right now. Often I can get it at 10 to 20k gold discounts when I can do this. So this is definitely something you should be doing if you're looking at any markets where you're flipping. If the bid is significantly lower than the buyout, then consider putting in a bid. This is especially good if the buyout price is actually maybe double the bid price, and the buyout price actually isn't profitable for you, but the bid is very profitable for you. Because then the chance that you'll get bought out is very low. Now, you can also utilize bids from the other side. You can set your bid percentage in TSM. If you're using Trade Skill Master to post your items, there's a setting in auctioning operations called bid percentage. And you can use this to set your bid as 50, 60, 70% of your buyout price. And you'll get a lot more potential buyers. And what's very cool is that TSM will never set your bid below your minimum price. So you can essentially undercut yourself and offer your customers two different price points. So if they're very price sensitive, they can take the bid and maybe wait a couple of days and get the item. Or they can just buy it out now. So obviously, though, this means that this mostly makes sense for stuff that will take that people can be bothered to wait for. So this means luxury items, and it means luxury items that are just vanity cosmetics. So this is very, very good for battle pets. Probably not too good for BOEs, because people want to increase their power right now. But battle pets, mounts, stuff like that, it's very good for. So definitely look at adding this if you're in those markets. Because you can make a surprisingly large amount of sales with lower bids. And you'll still always be making at least your minimum price, which, if you're following sort of my philosophy, that should always give you about a 20% profit margin, which is always great. So, let's look at the next one. So, as I said, the basic way to sell your items is, of course, or trade your items is on the auction house. But you don't have to do that. There is a trading system as well. You can trade directly with people. And although trade chat is perhaps not particularly used too much for actual trading, it's mostly like guild recruiting and gold seller spam and people spamming Dirge or Blessed or Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker, or whatever it's called. It can actually be used for trading, and there is usually a decent amount of trading activity going on there. So obviously, making a trade chat macro so that you that'll advertise materials that you're buying large amounts of, that's really, really good. You can use that to get a lot of cheap materials. That's something I definitely suggest if you're a large-scale crafter. And there are always people advertising stuff that they are desperate to sell quickly. So you can often find very good deals in trade chat, both in terms of BOEs, materials, and loads of other stuff. So if you're not paying attention to trade chat, then that should definitely change. I do suggest getting a good anti-spam add-on, like Bad Boy or something similar, which will definitely remove a lot of the gold spam, gold seller spam stuff, and stuff that you definitely don't want. Don't be afraid to whisper people if they're selling something. Don't be afraid to haggle with them a little bit. If you're not comfortable with it, you can only really get better at it by training. So practice. Do it when you can. You'll make a decent amount of gold off of it. So, I'm going to cover one more little tactic today. And this is more into the Auction House PvP realm, and we're talking about price walls. So price walls is a tactic or a strategy that's used to get materials fairly cheaply. So the basic idea is you post a wall, which is anywhere from 50 to 1 to 200 to 300 stacks of one of some trade skill material at a fairly low price, like maybe, say, 60% DB market. And then you wait for people to undercut you, and you just buy out everything below your own auctions. And then hopefully you can buy out enough materials at a low price that you can sell at the higher price. So that even if someone buys out all of your cheap auctions, you'll still make gold. You can, of course, also cancel your auctions and post them at a higher price point. So obviously this only works if you manage to buy a significant amount of materials. So you need to have the time available to pay attention to the auction house, monitor it, and run scans. And you definitely need to have the capital so that you can take the loss if you're posting materials that you maybe bought at 80% DB market. There is a potential that someone will buy you out completely and just remove your wall. So that's it's a pretty cool tactic. I've never personally used it, but I know that a lot of people have used it very successfully. And it's definitely, if you want to try like the more, I should say, aggressive PvP side of the auction house, then it's something very cool to look at. There are, of course, many more tactics and techniques that go in this and that sort of general direction in trying to manipulate what price people are posting at. Some of them, if they're done at a large enough scale, will of course be bannable because they might be crossing into manipulation of the server economy side of the terms of service. So make sure that you don't screw over your fellow players, because Blizzard can and will take action if you go crazy. But in terms of making a small-scale wall and just buying out cheap Tidespray linen for an afternoon, that should be fine. Anyway. That is going to be it for the discussion point. Did I miss anything? I'm sure I did, because there are tons of other alternative auction house strategies. If you have some cool ones, definitely get them into the comments, and I'll take a look at them. Maybe I'll talk about some of them next week. Do let me know, though. And if you enjoyed the show and you want more content, just go to the blog at thelazygoldmaker.com. That's also where you'll find the comments section that I referred to earlier. If you're just listening to this on Spotify, then obviously it's going to be a little hard to find the comments. Now, if you enjoyed the show and you want to support it, you can do so through patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. You'll get early access to all of the episodes, as well as access to my TSM setup. So that's pretty cool. Now, that is going to be it for me today. I wish you all a very profitable week. Good night, guys.